The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website freshfm.net for our contact details.
What's on, where and when?
It's the Talk of Nelson.
Talk Nelson Radio. Sport. The Marco Rugby Roundup.
Welcome to episode 15 of the Marco Rugby Roundup podcast, where we find out who the fanatics are when it comes to all things rugby in the top of the South. I'm Chris Butler, and joining me once again, Mr. Rugby himself, Les Edwards. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It's not the best weather for a weekend coming up, but we'll get into it.
And no, it's a bit of a damp one, that's for sure. But on Saturday, actually, there was a bit of a shower at the MBS day, but actually, on the whole, a great day and lots of activity and a great crowd.
Yeah, it was a massive crowd, actually. We had heaps of people there, about 4,000 people turned up. We had a lot of kids turn up from their various clubs and their club colours. But, you know, the game itself was terrific. You know, we saw a Marco team like of old in a comprehensive 52-17 win. But what impressed me most was, the play of the backs. I just thought they were so enterprising. Scored 7 tries. And some of the play, some of the structure around the attack was just a joy to watch.
Yeah, because we had a good start, but actually Northern bounced back a bit, didn't they, especially in the first half. So we weren't totally relaxed, but it just really all opened up in the second half for the Marco, didn't it?
Yeah, and it starts with a really good forward performance. You know, the return of Andrew Makaleo and Quinn Strange really helped. Our line-out was so secure. I saw a stat that Drew Makaleo's accuracy rate is like 98% for line-outs. So he's finding his mark, and Quinn Strange and Max Hicks secured really good quality ball from that set piece. The scrum held up, and that in the end gave them the platform to really play some enterprising footy in the backs. And our midfield is just on song. Look at the way Alex Nankervell is playing, the way Levi Amour is playing. Those two are very, very impressive at the moment.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess a reduction in mistakes and also discipline was a lot better as well. So all those little things are starting to fire, and that all adds up to what we saw on the park. And we were talking about last week with Antonio, you know, how, well, I felt anyway, that we're just starting to hit our straps, and I think that proved it on Saturday, that's for sure. And it was great to see the helicopter come in and deliver the match ball, and there was lots of fun and activities, and we were raising money for the Nelson Marlborough Helicopter Trust, and we had the curtain raiser before that as well.
Yeah, so the curtain raiser was a terrific game. Nelson Bay's under-16s beat Marlborough under-16s, but, you know, the display was absolutely terrific to watch. These kids play with a lot of Marco flair. One kid from Nelson Bay's even put a fin up as he scored under the sticks, which was cool. You know, both teams now are preparing for the under-16 South Island tournament, and I think they'll both travel pretty well. But it was just great to see the quality of play that, you know, these kids are doing. They play without fear. They play with they back themselves to play attacking rugby. Gosh, when I was 16, to think that I would have played a standard like that would have been beyond belief for any 16-year-old. You know, just the way the game's developed and the coaching that they get. It was a superb game. And then, as you say, you know, the MBS fundraising for the Nelson Marlborough Rescue Helicopter Trust got underway with the helicopter landing, and that's always a bit of a buzz to see a helicopter come in and land in the middle of a rugby park delivering the match day ball. That was awesome. And then at halftime, we were able to introduce the Nelson College First 15. And I was just so pleased that they got such a warm reception from the crowd. You know, we interviewed the co-captains, Nelisoni Malaulau and Dane Lapine. And the response from the crowd in the stands was really neat. They got a good ovation. So, and they deserve that, of course, having been the Crusaders Region First 15 champions.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, they've had a fantastic year. Obviously, probably a little bit disappointed they didn't make the top four, but, you know, that's just pushing those expectations of themselves, and I'm sure, you know, they've got that team now for a couple of seasons, so I'm sure we're going to see them in the mix there somewhere. Tonight is actually the final round, and Les, that was your last home game, so a bit of a sad occasion for you.
Yeah, happy sad. 67 home games in the Tasman Rugby Union operations team, putting on match day experiences, and nicely acknowledged at the pre-match hospitality in the pavilion. So yeah, it's happy sad. I've had a great run, 12 years, but I'm not lost to rugby. I'll be involved always in this great game. And always happy to talk to you, Chris, on Rugby Roundup, because we've got community rugby following after the Marco season. Yes. You know, it comes around pretty quickly. So always lots to talk about with rugby. Tonight's game, we were done no favours by Bay of Plenty, who fielded a second 15 on Wednesday night against Northland. They almost held on for a win. Northland pit them at the post. Dan Hawkins, who previously played for the Marco, kicked a goal to make us work tonight. And tonight means we must win.
Right.
We're 2 points clear of Northland. Northland are going to play Manawatu. Mm. You would have to think that Northland can get up for that. So really, it's now on the team to find 4 points against Hawke's Bay. We've named a really good team. It's pretty much the same as that played Northland, with the addition of Sevu Roos and Lester Whanganuku are going to be able to come off the bench. They didn't put him into the starting lineup, and one would say, why not? And then on the other hand, you say, well, that team performed so well against Northland, all of those starters, you know, on the wings, and that
there's some mojo happening there, so why not give them a crack?
Yeah. Deserve to keep their places. So.
But what a couple of impact players.
Yes, yes. And Hawke's Bay have Fokotaba, the halfback, backing up Weber. So our two halfbacks, Hotham and Chapman, will have to be on their toes against two quality halfbacks for Hawke's Bay. But I have no doubt that we can beat Hawke's Bay. I think that, as you said, we're finding our mojo at the right time of the season, and we'll go up there quietly confident.
Yeah, and I suppose Wellington didn't do us any favours either, because they pinched the Ravelli shield. Well, I suppose Hawke's Bay didn't do us any favours, but
No shield up for grabs.
No,
but that could lead to a bit of deflation for Hawke's Bay. You know, if you think about it, all of that. They were getting up for every defence, and they had a wonderful run as shield holders. And just maybe now that it's gone, they might be less intense, and there's a good opportunity for the Tasman Mako.
So that's 7:05 tonight.
Correct,
and,
indeed.
That's going to be presumably live on Sky. So
I'll be at my local and with a group of friends, and we'll be yelling and screaming at the TV, and hopefully we bring the boys home with a win.
Oh, good luck to them.
You're with the Marco Rugby Roundup, and it's our great pleasure to welcome to the show Marco player 189, Issy Tuangafasi. Welcome to the show, Issy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
Hey, mate, just want to start by having a chat about your family first, because your dad was a Tongan test player, and you were born in Tonga, and also your brother is current All Black Ofa.
Yeah, that's true. Dad played, not sure how many games, but he played for Tonga in the 87 World Cup here in New Zealand. Obviously loved his first time in New Zealand, and he ended up back in New Zealand in the early 90s for... I think he come over for the army and played a little bit of rugby in Wellington, and then he'd come back home. We're all born in Tonga. I'm one of 12 siblings.
Wow.
Dad. But yeah, all of us were born in Tonga, by my youngest brother, and mum had my older brother John here in the 90s when they were in Wellington.
Right. So that's a big family. So what actually brought you to come and live in New Zealand, and how did you discover rugby?
All right, so dad retired from the army after 22 years of service. He went to America and then he came back home. And I think there was a raffle on the newspaper, the opportunity for a family to come over to New Zealand, and mum put us through and fortunate enough to win it. And then we ended up moving over to New Zealand Boxing Day 2005. Lived in Mangere, and then rugby was always a part of the family of dad playing. I remember going with him to trainings. He used to coach the local team back home in Tonga, and so rugby was always there from an early age, as far as I can remember.
So Les here, did all of your siblings go to Mangere College?
Yes, all 10 of us did.
Yeah.
The younger boys had a choice, and they chose to go to a different school, but 10 of us all went through Mangere College. We all went all at a different age, because we come over and some of us are old enough to be in year 12. Some was started at different ages in college, but we all went through there part two.
And you all played first 15 rugby, I'd imagine, especially you.
Yeah, we all did. I think the whole time we were at school, every year there was at least two of us in the team, so it was always quite nice.
So did you play with Offer in the first 15?
Yes, I did. My first year was his last year at school. He was head boy, he was captain.
Right.
And I was year 10. I played with him that year, and then he moved on. I went up to year 12, and then my little brother joined me in the first 15, and then I went sixth form, and then there was three of us, I'm sure, in the first 15.
And were you successful as first 15s in that era?
Not. When Offa was there, we'd make the semis, but that was about as far as we got.
Well, nevertheless, mate, you got discovered and named in the 2015 under-20s. A team that was coached by Scott Robertson, and you ended up playing seven games for them. So what was that experience like, being coached by Razor and playing in that team?
Yeah, that was an awesome experience. My fellow Marco Atamoli was my captain, and it was an awesome experience. Good bunch of boys, and they really enjoyed it. There's a couple of Tonga boys there. There's me, Ato, Stephen Misa, and we all were there together, all front lines, so we spent all the time together there. It was a great experience, especially with Razor and Jace Ryan. It's one of the highlights of my career.
Oh, it would be.
That month we had in Italy, not a bad place.
Yeah. I agree with you. Jace Ryan, a very good forward coach even back then?
Yeah, he was awesome for me back then. He's still one of the best coaches I've ever dealt with, if not the best. His attention to detail, the way he gets the boys working, and get everybody wanting to play for him. So that's one of his strong sides to him.
When you say attention to detail, that's an interesting term, because we hear it a lot. Does that mean technical coaching? Does it mean he's actually specifically coaching you on body height or whatever? Or is it more emotional?
It's a little bit of both. Liz, not everybody operates the same, but he finds what works for you. He finds your strength and he helps you make it even stronger. He helps you with your weaknesses, make them stronger. And he's just an all-round good bloke that anyone would love to play for.
Yeah, well, it's remarkable, because it's parlayed into the All Blacks. You can see genuine improvement in all of the players in that side. Mate, straight away, after that 2015 under-20s experience, you got picked for Auckland in the NPC, and again, you're a long-side offer, and you ended up playing 19 games over three seasons before you moved to Northland in 2018. Now, I'm just interested, was there any sibling rivalry when you were in the same teams as Offa? Did you get on? What was the experience like?
Back then, there was never rivalry or anything. Rivalry was when we were a lot younger playing in the backyard, but there was none of that when we were playing for Auckland or playing for St. Dean. There was always a sense of respect that I had for him because he was older. I'd show him respect when we were out and about at trainings, and there was never any rivalries there. But I enjoyed, especially my first year with Auckland, being able to play with him again. Not many people get to play with their siblings. I thoroughly enjoyed it. We lost in the finals to Canterbury down there, and we played Tasman for the semi-final back home at Eden Park. But playing with Offa is always it's always fun. It's always humbling, and it's just a good feeling being able to play with your brother as anyone would love to.
You had two good seasons with Northland, in fact, playing 21 matches.
Yeah.
And at the end of which, 2019, you signed with the Crusaders. So can you tell us a little bit about that experience?
So at the end of 2017, I think. And then I moved up north for the 2018 and 2019 club season. I just moved up there 2018 to try and get a contract. Played club rugby up there. Eventually got the contract and I played. And at the end of 2018, I was doing a little bit of running. Now, after the season, you get a week off. You're on a bit of a fun week with the boys, and then I was trying to get back on the horse. And then me and a guy named Jack Straker and Boyd, we were out running, and then I get a random call during our running session. I was like, hello, and he goes, it's Jace Bryan, and then I was like, sorry, Jace, I'll call you back, I'm in the middle of running, and he goes, oh, yeah, sweet, so I just hung up on him, and I kept running, and then afterwards, we would sit down by the car, and I was like, that was Jace Bryan that called me, and I thought about it, but he said to me to give him a call back later, or I'll text him to call, give me a call back, so I texted him, and then I got back and Boyd just sit with me in the car. I was like, I honestly thought it was a prank. Someone's trying to get one on me. So I was like, boys, come sit in the car with me. I think someone's trying to prank me. So they hopped in the car. I answered the call. And then he generally asked, oh, how would you like to come down for preseason at the end of 2018? So I was like, I'd love to. I'd love to, Jace. And then that was the start of it. After that, I packed my stuff, went back home to Auckland to mum and dad for a little bit. And then I did the drive down to Christchurch and did pre-season with them. Then I debuted in 2019. I was only there as a player replacement. Just chipped away at it, worked hard. And then during the 2019, they offered me a contract, so I was back for the 2020 and the 2021 seasons. So that was really good. Yeah.
So in 2020, you get invited to join the Tasman Marco, you played 11 games in that first year, 2020, and won the premiership. And to do win the premiership, you actually had to beat Auckland, your old team up in Eden Park. So what was that like? What was that occasion like?
Yeah, so at the end of 2019 and 2020, Andrew Goodman asked if I wanted to come down here, and I wasn't really sure if I was ready to live down in the South Island full-time, so I told him I'll come back to him, and Andrew is one of my good friends. We played a little rugby in Auckland together, and I asked him about it, and so I ended up coming down here. Wasn't sure what I was getting myself into. But once I got down, I loved the place, I loved the players, and then ended up playing those 11 games in the 2020 season. And then we got to go back home to Auckland and play against Auckland in the final. That was unreal. I never thought I'd go back up there and beat them in their home ground. because they previously beat us during the round robin. And there was a, and then I've still got a lot of good friends there that gave me a bit of banter when we first lost and didn't hear the end of it. And yeah, so when we went up there for the final, I was really, really fired up for it. I wanted to get one of my friends, and then yeah, we ended up doing the job. It was so awesome. Yeah, and I was just really happy for the boys that they were there and played as the boys back here. Yeah, that's just 2020 is probably one of the, my highlights as well. Oh. Winning the Super Rugby with the Crusaders and then coming up to Nelson and winning a Mitre 10 competition. That's not a bad year.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was a great year for all of us fans because, you know, Auckland were red hot favourites. And we'd lost Mitchell Hunt about 15 minutes into that final. David Harvilli played out of his skin. You forwards just kept on doing your work. And it was very joyous. And then I remember you coming home to a big crowd at Nelson Airport. You and I sat outside the tunnel on Trafalgar Park at some point as you had a bit of a debrief. And just wonderful memories of that victory because 2019... was expected, Chris, wasn't it? But 2020 was just one out.
We'd had a few losses, hadn't we?
Yeah.
Because 2019, Andrew Goodman, first year, didn't lose a game.
Yeah, correct.
But a bit tougher, so to bounce back in 2020 like they did, you know, that's very satisfying. So again in 2021, you must have thought, well, I've made the right decision here. I'll stick in the South Island. Maybe a little bit cooler, but... not bad rugby down this part, and you played 11 games, including the final against Waikato. And so, but this year you haven't been able to take the field. So, what happened there? Did you get an injury during Moana Pacifica, or?
So, I had the it's just the ongoing injury where I had a bulged disc on my C5 and 6. But they. They said I could still play as long as I've got strength on my arm, and then we played Southland last year for Tasman, and then listen, my arm died for like a day, and I couldn't move it around. I was using my other arm to move it around. I saw the doctors, the doc, and he said it'll be okay. It's just a stinger. It'll come back. And I was like, oh, sweet as. And then eventually come back. About a week later, I played again, But it got better, it got stronger, but I had pins and needles down my arm. And, and then when I went up to Moana Pacifica, I asked the doc there if I could please get it checked out properly, just in case there's something actually serious going on and I'm not sure and I could hurt myself more. And he was so good. He said, oh, yeah, we'll get it checked out. And got it checked out, and I got that bulged disc and the narrowing on my spinal cord. And then I saw the specialist went for a CT scan, and I was actually on my way to our first preseason game. When I get a call from the doc, he's like, "Oh, hey mate, I've just got a call from the specialist that you've been ruled out for this game. Not sure how long it's gonna be, but you won't be playing today." So I was like, "Oh yeah, sweet as." And then about a month and a bit later, I got surgery on my neck, and ever since then I've just been rehabbing. I come down here to Nelson, favorite part of New Zealand, just hang out with the boys and do my rehab and be in the environment.
So how's the recovery going at the moment, and when do you think we'll see you back on the park?
So I'm just under 6 months post surgery. Recovery is going really well. Got a good rehab plan, good physio that's looking after it. And in terms of returning to play, I'm not due back to do any contact until I see the specialist again on the 14th of this month, actually. And then I'll be back doing contact after that, hopefully. And then and it'll be just as usual, return to play, sort of protocols, build fitness base up, contact, and then hopefully be playing.
All right, so we might see you playing for Moana Pacifica.
Yeah, most likely at the stage, please.
So you've played for a few teams now, and so you've obviously stuck around with the Marco. So what do you think sets the Marco apart from others?
The culture, the culture that the boys do have here, it's so special. Being somebody from the outside coming in, I wasn't really sure what I was getting myself into. There was no link to the region. The only person I sort of knew was the boys that was down at the Crusaders and Andrew. And they gave me, they were lying. Like, I thought they were lying. They said it's an awesome place to live. Got an awesome set of boys there. The boys work hard. The boys know when to switch off, know when to switch on. And I got down there and it was exactly that. The culture, the boys, the place is growing on me. The region's growing on me. And every time people ask me, what is it like in Nelson? I say, it's the best place to live. And it's the best time of year to be in Nelson when the market seasons is on.
Well, that must be why you're always so happy when I see you, is he? Because that's a pretty good wrap on, A, the team and the environment, yeah. and B, Nelson is a place to live. So that's cool. And we do hear it a lot from the players we've interviewed that, you know, the team environment is second to none. And long may it last, you know, because win or lose, you know, you got to be happy in your rugby. And, pretty critical.
Yeah, that is true. Win or lose, the boys here are always good. It doesn't matter. It does matter, but the boys here always know how to enjoy themselves and how to be good people. And that's what I've found. There's good people in the environment. There's good people in the organisation. And, I can't find any faults. And I love the last 3 years that I've had here.
Wonderful, Lizzie. Now, I'm going to finish off with some quick-fire questions. All right, you ready for this?
Yeah. Fire ahead. Yeah.
Okay, so who wins an arm wrestle, Issy or Offa?
Offa.
What? Oh. So you're the lover and he's the fighter? So Offa's got the bigger biceps, eh?
Oh, I might do now. I'll be working out.
All right, who's the quickest over 50 metres? Issy or Issy. Drew Makaleo?
Issy. You've seen Drew's a run.
I have, actually. Issy. Yeah, well done. That's fair. Now, who's the strongest scrummager? Issy or Ryan Coxon?
Not Ryan Coxon.
Not Ryan Coxon. All right.
Yeah, so Issy. Yeah.
Okay. Who has the sweetest temperament? Issy or Anton Segner?
Oh, I've got it. He loves my company. He's always
it's
around me.
It's hanging around you.
I think it's me because he can't leave me alone. He always wants to be around me. He's always calling. What are you doing? You want to go for lunch?
He's always playing with your hair.
Yeah, he's playing with my hair. It's funny that. I don't know if you saw that, Liz.
I did see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And last but not least, who's the cheekiest teammate? Issy or Luca Inch?
You gotta give that guy a trophy. Luca, he's the cheekiest, the smartest kid in the. He's just an all out. He's a good bloke, Luca.
Isn't he?
You can never get mad at him. He's so cheeky, you can't be mad at him.
His name has come up every show when they talk about.
If you get a date to hang out with Luca, it'll be one of the best days of your life.
Yeah, well, we're gonna have to get him on the show very, very soon.
Yeah, sounds like it.
You're gonna have to. His show might go on for hours.
Hey, Issy, you've been a wonderful guest yourself, mate. Absolute pleasure to talk to you. And I've always enjoyed bumping into you around the offices or around the training fields. You're always friendly. You're always happy. You always say hello. Mate, you're a pleasure to talk to.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you, Chris. It's been a pleasure talking to you guys. The pleasure's mine.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Issy. All the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Cheers. That's Issy Tuinga Farseed, Marco player 189. You're with the Marco Rugby Roundup. It's time to talk All Blacks. And after a great Saturday, we all wandered down to the Wakalees.
Yes,
and
we did.
There was a big crowd in there. And proceeded to see what we would have to consider probably the best game the All Blacks have played, arguably, maybe South Africa. You could argue that, but what a fantastic performance that was, and it's what we were looking for, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was a continuation of the season. Hot, cold, hot, cold,
yeah,
hot,
it
cold.
Was. Yeah,
hot,
it was.
Cold, and then hot. You yeah. know, 40 points to 14 when the Aussies definitely thought they had a sniff at getting a victory on Eden Park. 5-2. Very, very comprehensive in my mind.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, key performances for you. I mean, obviously, Geordie Barrett stood out at number 12. So I don't know how that bodes well for Mr. Havili, but there was a lot of talk about his performance.
Yeah, well, David Havili would be in the mix. I just wonder what it means for Roger Tuivasa-Sheck.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about the fact that he didn't get the opportunity, although he was the next midfielder in the order of rankings. That, you know, Geordie jumps over him, has a mighty game. RTS gets called on, I think, for about the last 5 minutes. Yeah, I just don't know where Roger sits in Ian Foster's mind. Probably not dominantly. So the Geordie Barrett experiment definitely worked. I thought that Sam Whitelock put in just an amazingly dominant performance at lock. You know, we talk about how old he is. What is he, 34? But he was so good in all facets on the weekend. His leadership, his kick chase, his tackling, his lineouts. Yeah, it really was remarkable. And I guess, Chris, you know, Cody Taylor sort of,
yeah. You know. He didn't have a bad game, did he?
No, he didn't have a bad game. And you know, so he rewarded the faith of being given another opportunity by the selectors, and you know, you have to be pleased for him because goodness knows he needed that.
Yes,
to win the confidence of the fans back.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think RTS, he's got a Roosters contract on the table, by the sounds of it. So he might be off. You know, Juiced, as you say, to Cody Taylor and Sam, when he came on, he also scored, so he played a great game. But I couldn't, there wasn't really any particular player that stood out for me. I think as a unit, as a team, they all played really well. Don't necessarily think that the Aussies played that bad. I just think that all those things, as we've talked about with the marker, all those little things in the forwards, the discipline, and when you get that front foot, of course, you set the backs alight. I like Beauden Barrett at 15. And, you know, I'm worried because I think, well, Will Jordan won't get enough of the play, but in that particular game, he was coming into the middle of the park and joining up with Bodie and running through on those, you know, those kicks over the defence. So, you know, maybe that is the World Cup combination.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Certainly, Will Jordan has found a bit of form again. He went for, what, 3 matches without scoring a try. He's now got 2-2.
Yeah.
His track record for tries and number of games played is world class. So,
yeah.
You know, he'll be biding his time. But yes, I think he's the first choice right winger for the Rugby World Cup.
Yeah.
You know, despite all of the angst about Ian Foster and coaching and this and that, New Zealand end up retaining the Bledisloe Cup and they win the Rugby Championship trophy.
I know.
So all is well.
All
is well in New Zealand rugby.
That's right. Oh, well, we'll wait for the touring team that's going to come up for the Northern Hemisphere tour.
Yes.
And also we've got a New Zealand A team, which is going to be coached by Leon McDonald.
Yes.
So he gets a chance. And then rumours have it that Scott Robertson was walking the hallways of New Zealand Rugby Union last weekend. I was listening to the radio and they were doing a live show and they walked past their studio together. So it just set the whole studio off and the rumours flying about what's going to be happening. So,
well, I just hope that New Zealand Rugby have met with them and said, the job is yours after the Rugby World Cup.
Yeah, but it was maybe, you know, they're surmising maybe will he join up with the 15As, but But it doesn't look like it, because well, they didn't name that publicly.
No. Yeah. Scott Robertson's got the Barbarians gig over in Europe, while Leon McDonald will take the All Blacks 15, as they've called them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're not going to change the Rugby World Cup coaching lineup at this stage, I wouldn't think, mate.
No. But great win, great end to the season, but still more rugby to come because we've got the Northern Hemisphere Tour. Well, that's a wrap. Thank you very much once again, Les. And our thanks to Issy for joining us. What a great guest he was. And,
yeah, loved his chat and such a good human being.
Yeah.
And nice to hear from a man outside the region who comes in and immediately feels welcomed and a part of the team.
And good luck with Hawke's Bay tonight. Need the win, 7:05, so we'll be cheering them on. You can hear this podcast on talknelson.co.nz and on our Facebook page, and also on Fresh FM, 9 o'clock Friday night. So we'll speak to you again next week on the Marco Rugby Roundup. Have a great weekend.
The Marco Rugby Roundup. It's the talk of Nelson. Talk Nelson Radio.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access media station, with support from New Zealand On Air. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz.